comment coming at the 10 o'clock. We do have a couple names here on a list, but if there's anyone out in the public, either here in the room or online, please contact Alex Dunn. He's waving, but those online probably can't see him waving. But yeah, if you want to be on the list, just let us know. We will be doing that at 10 o'clock. Check out here is 11 o'clock. If you all haven't done so, make sure you get out by 11. And I think we just reminder on the parking pass thing. You just need to have it extended today because we might get out later before they shut you off. Up first today is our holistic strategic planning initiative by Brett Weedoff. Obviously, today's topic between the holistic planning and the 2026 priorities that we'll be talking about a little later today. You know, we're focused on our short term and long term vision of what this council is doing, what we can and can't do. You know, there's quite a bit of relevancy here with these two topic agendas because, you know, what questions have come up in the past couple of days of, you know, why do we do what we do? You know, or why do things take so long? It doesn't seem like the process works for us. Well, let's face it, we've heard these comments in the past as well. And there are definitely legitimate concerns and questions that we've had to answer. Obviously, if some of you have read the report already, council didn't come out very well in that report. So I encourage you all to really like engage with the staff, you know, take the council resources that you have in hand so that when we come to this to our meeting in January, you know, we're coming together with ideas for solutions to move forward. You know, we need to have an understanding of, you know, if you're not sure why we do things the way we do, you know, definitely ask the staff. You know, we have clear guidance documents. We have a handbook on why our process works. And also understanding, you know, obviously some discussion topics around it yesterday. You know, what do last minute tasking motions do to the staff? What is the process? Why do things take so long? I think if you just engage with staff or, you know, talk with the Dr. O'Keefe here, you know, she'll guide you with some of these questions. So I really encourage you to take the resources that we all have in hand, use them. And like I said, when we come together in January, it's solution time. And I was kind of joking that I'm not going to let you out of the room for a day and a half. But honestly, that's what we're going to try to do. We're trying to come up with solutions. So the criticisms that we're getting now will evaporate. That's my hope. That's my vision. But thank you very much for my little spiel there. I will turn it over to Brett Weedoff. He's been part of the Parnum Group. He's been taking charge of our strategic holistic planning. So I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. And thank you, Dr. O'Keefe and council members. I first want to thank all the participants thus far and helping us focus on the information that we've gathered and participating and giving us their time and focus groups and interviews. And I want to thank my team for their diligence and trying to pull all this information together. So it's been a Herculean effort in the last month. And I think we've got enough information on the table now for you to start digesting. So I want to thank them for all their hard work. Next slide, please. I want to center us on why we're here, you know, about the current state and the objective. And we've got some obvious shifts in workforce resources and species distribution and a lot of variability in stock conditions and some rising uncertainties. And so obviously that challenges the council's decision-making process. And so, of course, the strategic objective here is to really develop a holistic strategic plan to take everything that you're doing and look at it and see where can we develop something that is approaches and develops activities for resilient and responsive fisheries management initiatives, but also do a little bit of gut check about what can we maybe let go and what can we do better. But I think this would position the council to make some timely and science-based decisions that are durable, agile, equitable, and align with the climate, what's been happening, the emerging environmental and economic realities. So next slide, please. So I want to touch on the phases and the timeline of the project here. Today, I'm going to talk about, you know, what we've done, where we are, what we're doing now, and where we're headed. There's three phases to this project. That's the discovery, analysis, and recommendations phase. This discovery phase was really about identifying key challenges, capturing participant perspectives, and mapping where processes and operate, you know, efficiently or break down. And some of those activities included, you know, gathering insights from interviews with leadership and focus groups with a number of people across the council process. We did some advisory body questionnaires and some benchmarking, which is in the appendices, and just overall document review and background on all the information that you currently have written for your processes. We conducted some analyses, some strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats analyses on that discovery information. We did some political, economic, social, and technological, along with some legal, environmental analyses to kind of examine the information that we collected through those avenues. Now, in the analysis phase, we're just sitting down and diagnosing just those system level drivers and trying to identify symptoms and clarifying how different factors shape the council effectiveness. And those activities really are translating the discovery findings into deeper insights and just trying to identify gaps, and including misalignments and root causes. But we also identified some good things too. So it's not all some bad picture of some sorts. So I'll get into that a little bit later. But we're gonna take all that stuff and package it for you and sit down and talk about strategic planning. And that's, of course, the January 6th and 7th workshop. And just trying to draft up a potential plan. We want you to sit down and co-design those goals and priorities and think about the success metrics and try to draft a mission and vision statement and possibly just a rough outline of a strategic plan. And of course, more on that later. I'll get into that towards the end of the presentation. But we want to take all that thoughts and feedback from the council meeting and the workshop. And between January and April, we plan to conduct some additional inquiries, probably through a broad participant questionnaire and some additional focus groups and interviews to really further develop the strategic plan and maybe drill down on some recommendations and things that the council might want to focus on. We don't want to try to solve all the nitty gritty things. We want to kind of take a higher level look at solving some of these challenges, but we want to make sure that we coalesce around the right things and talk about and try to solve the things that you really feel deeply and strongly about fixing. So we're going to then try to come up with a roadmap for implementation as well. It's a lot to do between January and April, but I'm pretty confident that this group can get there along with our support. And we'll have a facilitator, of course, he's online listening as well to help drive that strategic planning workshop. We're really excited about that. I think there's a lot of energy already by this council, you know, trying to develop something that really works for everyone as much as possible. Next slide, please. So I want to dig into the discovery analysis a little bit. There's a lot of info in the document, I understand. and some of those things may be contrary to what others perceive. And, you know, are those real issues or challenges? I mean, I'd like to dig into this one little thing more and find out more. Tell me what's the reason for that statement. We didn't really want to go into that here and now. What we wanted to do is roll all this stuff up into cross-cutting themes of what we're hearing. And so we really want to think about, you know, the governance and efficiencies and the trust and engagement, workforce and resources, and adaptation and resilience. So we tried to roll them up into like bigger categories of understanding. And made some general statements. I don't think you're surprised and your eyebrows go up about these things too much, but that's okay. We want to just say, recognize these things and where the challenges might be. And we can drill down later on after the workshop. So I think it's clear, and this is probably likely for many of the councils across the nation, is it's structurally overburdened and operationally reactive. There's a lot of emergencies that pop up and derail things, and it's understandable and want to figure out a way to maybe create some buffer to handle some of those things. There are some clear gaps in some transparency and some limited feedback on what was created, why it was implemented, And we started to hear that there's a little bit of a trust issue about the decisions being made. There's a bit of a capacity and resource limitation. There's pretty high burden on staff, and many staff that work on this, not just the council staff, but within GARFO and the Science Center as well. But and it tries it really does restrict innovation and can delay progress. We're also see that the system struggles to, of course, adjust quickly. And I think that's the impetus of a lot of this work is trying to figure out how can we do things a little quicker, but how can we adjust for the shifting environmental economic conditions? And is there a way to be more nimble? And I think most councils, again, want to be that way. It's tough within this highly regulated and a lot of mandates of things to do, a lot of box checking and things to do. But is there ways to be more innovative and how to try to prepare for that? Next slide, please. But there are a lot of bright spots in the same categories. There's a lot of strong communication that we see between advisory bodies and council members and between staff to staff. The grassroots structure, the bottom up, is still a critical strength of the council process in general. And I've heard this in other councils as well. It's still you're there for fisheries management to work with the people who are actually on the water fishing. And that's that connection, that grassroots structure that is critical. And I think you need to retain that. You don't want to lose that. But and there's a real commitment to the rigor, to actually having a real sound system and a stepwise process that works for everyone as much as possible, of course. There is broad representation. When we did the survey, there was a lot of good representation on advisory bodies. Yes, there's a few gaps. There's some things that could be tweaked and fixed. And we can get into that later after the strategic plan is developed and start thinking about recommendations. There's an open process. Everybody loves the open process. Everybody has an opportunity and multiple opportunities to engage in the process. Whether they want to or not, that's different. That's a different question, but it is available to people. And it is a strong collaborative culture. And I there's a you, we could see the passion between everyone that's provided information in the focus groups and the interviews that they were really they wanted to collaborate. They really wanted to share. They want, but sometimes it's challenging to do that. And you just don't have the time or the resources to do that. But there's a serious desire to do that. And the workforce and resources, there's definitely high quality output and a lot of output. And just there's so much going on and very dedicated staff. And it's very obvious on all sides that there's a dedicated staff trying to. And I see this in other councils too. As a former council staffer, I was very dedicated as well, and think about this stuff sometimes day and night, trying to figure out how can I fulfill my role, but also support my council members and the advisory bodies. So that is a real strength and is critical too. But we don't want to burn them out. We don't want to lose that dedicated staff. And there's a lot of supportive analyses. It's just about funneling that information to the right people in an efficient manner. And of course, this group is already doing a lot of forward thinking. There's a lot of things that are going on, and we'll touch on this later, that's happening. And the leadership just has a real strong desire to think forward. And there's other councils as well that want to do that. And there's a real strong desire to think. Sit down and think and have some strategic focus. And obviously, with the workshop coming and this whole project in general, that's what the desire is. And trying to come up with some adaptive frameworks. Next slide, please. So let's talk a little bit about the discovery and moving into the gap analyses. We applied a type of framework. It's called the 7S Dimensions Framework. We took all this information and we fed it through this framework and tried to structure things so that they fell into these categories. There's seven S's here, but we grouped some of them things together into four separate categories. But trying to really kind of digest some things. And what's the purpose and the scope of this? We're really trying to distinguish root causes from those surface level symptoms that we're seeing. And we try to take the SWOT and PESTEL analysis, that was the strength, workforce and opportunities and threats analyses and other things, and try to pull that in. And then we developed that benchmarking information and took that survey results and integrated all that into this and sort of structured it in a way to like tease out, okay, what are the challenges here in these four categories to the left? We try to identify cross-cutting themes and, you know, that might reflect system level issues rather than just isolated operational problems, little detailed things, trying to look at, again, what's the theme, this cross-cutting theme, and think about it in these ways. Okay, if there's a system issue, then maybe we focus on the system. If there's a structure problem, then we focus on that. So trying to feed that information, categorize it accordingly. And then just trying to diagnose specific barriers to maybe efficiency, trust, and responsiveness. And then establish maybe a shared foundation for strategic planning and solution development. So some of these things are just trying to lay it out that and organize it in a way that when we're ready to fully dive into developing a strategic plan, we can take some of these pieces and put them under certain sections of the plan and focus on changes. Next slide, please. So the gap analysis has five major gaps, and I don't think these are going to, again, raise your eyebrows and any aha moments. I think it's really, you know, it's not surprising, I think, with these gaps, but they'll probably drive some of the development of the strategic plan. But it also, these things validate, again, the efforts you've already started to explore, whether it's IRA efforts or subcommittee efforts like the process mapping and the communications group. You've already reformed and, did your ecosystem committee. And it may sound repetitive to what you've already know, but it is indicative of where you're going. So it validates your efforts of what you already have going on now. But there are some things here to focus on. I think the prioritization and strategic foresight deficit, that some of those things are just feeling like you're constantly dealing with short-term crises and can't really think about the long-term planning. And thinking about inflexible management and some of the lagging adaptations to some things, it's challenging. And trying to figure out how to do more ecosystem-based fisheries management and integrate more ecological and social and economic information is, it seems to be a priority for a lot of people. Instead of just turning the crank and running numbers and not being able to think too hard about what is this is telling us? What should we be planning for? And we want to focus a bit on the communication strategy and some of the and some building trust again. I think there, generally there's some uncertainty about or understanding about the information that's coming in that's driving decision making. So maybe creating some more transparency and developing some trust again, because that really does rock the world of confidence in science-based decisions. And then thinking about operational demands and the workforce capacity, there is a high volume of required analyses. And I think everybody can shake their head and say, absolutely, it's almost too much to bear. And that just is burning people out. And it's one more request, one more ask, one more thing I need to do. Could you give me this? Could you give me that? But it's thinking about, do you really need that information? What is it that you're really lacking? And trying to understand, hey, this is actually, all this information is creating bottlenecks and delays, and we're just having a real hard time and a very low bandwidth for trying to innovate anything because we just continue to get piled up. Okay, next slide, please. So thinking about connecting some of these gaps to the current IRA initiatives, we put several tables in the document, because this is not an exhaustive list. This is just a sampling of the things that you're already doing. But we wanted to connect some of those things that you're already doing to some of the things we're already hearing. And I thought that would be, again, validating that you're on the right path. You're doing a lot of investigative work to think about the future. And so we wanted to tease some of those things out so that we can separate out things when we get to the strategic planning. Okay, it sounds like that IRA objective and that idea holds water. It's something that we should focus on, carve out time, make time for in the future, whether it's short-term or long-term gains. We want to make sure that we think about those things. And then what else is there that is coming to the rising up to the top that we should focus on that is not part of our IRA initiatives or other subcommittee activities? And so we want to give you a sense of some of those things here by connecting those current initiatives to what we've been hearing. So there's a couple of tables in there that go through in section 4.3 that you can kind of digest. Okay, next slide, please. But it does highlight the importance of these efforts and you know developing a strategic plan. So we want to think about turning these gaps into opportunities. We wanted to give a little bit of a flavor about what we're thinking about how to move forward from all this information. And we want to think about you know the misalignments that limit efficiency and responsiveness and trust. But these things also reveal opportunities to strengthen the council's management system. So you know, there's overwhelming optimism from stakeholders and targeted improvements can make some meaningful enhancements to this decision-making process. And we did also review a lot of the information from the 2018 review and that program review recommendations tracking sheet. I'm not sure if you pulled that out lately. But there's a lot of future fixes that you've identified in that tracking sheet. There's some things you've already fixed, some things you've tabled and are waiting on. But some of these things are identified in that, what we've identified are also synonymous to what was identified in those tables. And so we just want to highlight the continued need to address some of these things in the future and possibly in the strategic plan. So we're looking to try to improve transparency and understanding. We're developing a visual pathway or a maps to really kind of clarify how actions progress, where decisions occur, and how priorities align with across committees and advisory bodies. We could look focus on strengthening the coordination and focus with like clear and short and long-term prioritization processes, you know, more deliberate workload balance. We could expand staff capabilities. You know, just by investing in training and tools and expand the analytical capacity and reduce the burden, especially if we're going to lose some workforce on one side of the fence or the other, we want to be able to fill the gaps. As Don McIsaac used to say, we need a deep bench. We need a lot of people that have can play several roles, who can be a roaming fielder, who can fill in those gaps, especially when people retire or go on maternity leave. So trying to hedge our bets on those things. And think about enhancing adaptive management capacity and trying to establish maybe some triggers that really drive responses to real-time economic environmental changes. I think there's a high desire to do that, especially in this science center, that they really want to have the data and information, be able to react and understand how to react appropriately, but also set up triggers to say, hey, if this happens, then let's do this. And then try to reinforce the trust and enhance stakeholder engagement. We're really trying to create consistent feedback loops and show that participants, you know, how their input informs decisions. And by offering plain language updates between meetings, I think there's a lot of information already out there in plain language. You try to capture the decisions made, try to put down on paper the decisions of prioritization now. I've seen a lot of good change, a lot of things that are happening to in the system, in a trying to really communicate to the people over the web and provide opportunities for downloading information. But it is a wealth of information, and you just try to package it in sound bites for people to understand quickly and decide where do they want to participate. Next slide, please. The second drink of water here. Right, I'm jumping a little ahead, but we wanted to provide a little bit of information about examples of success and trying to measure success. And some of these things are just ideas and a flavor of what we might produce for you after the strategic plan, and that we can try to drill down on some of these things that might need solving. But part of a strategic plan is measuring your success. If you set out to do something, you want to be able to measure it and figure out, are we being successful? So what we wanted to put out there is just one table with some examples of success. And to walk through this, I think about like, let's go down three to the number of hours of staff spend on low probability alternatives or procedural tasks. Maybe there's a challenge there. And we think about, okay, how much time are we spending on that? How do we measure that? Well, maybe time code certain things and think about trying to really estimate the hours. Or down below, percent of staff workload by function. I know that right now, from the last two executive committee meetings I listened to, that you've added in the months of staff it might take to complete that task. I think that's an excellent exercise to start really getting at how much time are we going to have to spend on this? And do we have the staff and the capacity to do that? But even more, you could drill down and adding time coding or regular survey to understand the workloads quarterly or monthly even, and whether you are really, you know, what does it tell us? It's whether operational demands still exceed capacity and where relief is needed, and start thinking that through and saying, is it a must have, or is it a nice to have kind of thing? Do we really need that information? Can we focus on just the core issue and not do a lot of extras? Because as you know, there might be some cuts or resource challenges to continue doing all the things that you're doing now. But trying to figure out a way to examine what you have in hand and really the staff capacity. Again, you don't want to burn out the staff. You want to focus on the real core things that you need to accomplish. But really, before we, you know, go there and start thinking about recommendations, we got to do some strategic planning. So next slide, please. So as we enter the strategic planning phase, we want to begin to establish the council's long-term direction. You know, what is its desire? Where does it want to go? We want to eventually focus on a few things as we develop these recommendations and support that strategic plan. But I want you to think about a couple of things here as we start moving forward. And of course, these items can be addressed after the January workshop, once we have a vision and really kind of some pillars or overarching goals of the plan. But we want to think about, you know, prioritization and the most significant impactful intervention areas, you know, identifying the changes that could really produce the most meaningful and sustainable improvements. Just trying to establish criteria for evaluating our options and sequencing action steps, thinking about all the different pieces and the steps that we need to take. Do we need every single step? Are there steps that we might be able to skip? We definitely, of course, want to keep the public process intact. And that's not what we're suggesting. But just thinking through, you know, are there steps that could we forego or maybe combine certain committee meetings and do more meetings that are joint meetings, things like that, that might speed up the process or create efficiencies and hash out challenges or issues quicker. And then think about quick wins that really do build momentum when you're planning for longer term changes. So these are some of the things that we start thinking about as we develop a strategic plan, but those are sort of a little bit, again, a cart before the horse. Next slide, please. So in essence, we really want to coalesce around now of this workshop and start transitioning from assessing the current state to defining that visionary future state. And so we want to think about, you know, this dedicated session and defining the council's long-term vision and just thinking about the key outcomes and begin drafting a holistic strategic plan with maybe three or four goals and priority initiatives. And the key steps for this development is really trying to develop, you know, we're going to prepare for the workshop. There's a lot of information in section 5.1 about what we're going to try to pull together here and do, and try to bring some alignment with everybody around the table. Obviously, we'll have a facilitator to do that. We're going to do some deeper dives as we can. But in general, we want to think larger, bigger picture during that strategic plan and assess really what is the vision, and review the current state, and then just, you know, collaborate to define that future state. It will probably do some breakout groups, doing some, put your thinking caps on and start strategically thinking about what is everybody's true vision, what do they value, what do they like to see change, what are the bigger picture holistic outlooks for them, and try to hopefully draft a strategic plan by the end of that meeting. We're looking to really to try to though draft a mission vision statement and some of those core things to think about. I put a couple questions in the document itself. Like one of those, like, is the current mission statement really kind of the, around the Magnuson-Stevens Act mission statement? Does that still valid for you, or is that something that is what you, of course, are going to continue to uphold, but does it still clarify, you know, the value we promise to deliver? Are you still feel like you're delivering on that? And looking to the future, and I put 10 years in here as just a placeholder. It could be thinking shorter term, 5 years or 25 years. But what does resilient ecosystem look like compared to today's? So what do you think would be an ideal situation or ideal council process or ideal resilient fisheries management system look like to you? And I think as well, we'll try to develop something that is at the end of this project that has 1 year, maybe 5 year and 10 year type outlook and things to focus on and help develop, like, again, a roadmap for you to think about the future, but also developing success measuring, you know, success metrics and measuring success. Next slide, please. So with that, I want to draw on, you know, really tell you, we're going to provide more details, more information prior to the workshop to council members. And you'll probably get a little bit of homework before we meet. So we'll have to do a little bit of thinking before you get into the room. But as the chair said, we'd like you to bring your thinking caps and be refreshed after the holidays and be ready to dig in. So there's more information that's coming to the council members in preparation for the workshop. It won't be just this discovery package of information. So we'll help center you on the process, provide an agenda for the workshop, and then give you a few handouts and maybe even ask you a few questions prior to walking into the room to get you thinking. So you feel ready to go. So again, thank you for this opportunity to work with you. I'm excited about the workshop and the future for the New England Fisheries Management Council. So, and I look forward to seeing you in January. So that concludes my presentation. I'll take any questions, and I have the Parnon team online to help me answer questions if I can't answer them now.
Thank you, Brent. Very interesting work. You've put a lot of work into this, and I think we all look forward to working with you in January. I'm not sure we all look forward to homework, but, you know, we have to do. Questions for Brent on the presentation and how we are moving forward into January. Peter Erstead.
Yeah, Brett, thanks for the presentation. You mentioned having some experience or familiarity with other councils. So my question to you is, has your group done previous strategic planning initiatives for other councils? And if yes, when and for whom? Thank you.
Thank you for the question through the chair. We have not done an exact strategic planning effort with another council. We did a review efficiencies analysis and review with the Mid-Atlantic Council in 2024, which helped lead into the development of their strategic planning effort. And they solidified that. They have a process, of course, that they go through for prioritization and developing a 1 and 5 year prioritization process. We help try to identify where they could be more efficient and have some quick wins and think about some long-term gains. But that's to the extent of working with the council there on somewhat sort of supporting a strategic planning effort.
Thank you for that. Any further questions, comments for Brett? Seeing none. Oh, sorry, Terry Alexander.
Yeah, so how when you're dealing with a natural resource, how are we supposed to plan things? When every day's an emergency, that's what makes me nervous about doing something like this, that will be bound into the strategic plan and we can't pivot like we have been. But I'm used to pivoting. So, I mean, every day I'm doing something different. I had a plan for tomorrow, but I called my boat this morning and I don't have a plan for tomorrow now. I'm working on the boat. So, when you deal with a natural resource like we do every day, how do you plan way ahead? And will we be stuck in we can't do that because our strategic plan tells us this? I guess that's my question.
Sure, that's a valid question. Everybody has plans and they blow up sometimes. I appreciate the question. I think generally speaking, we'll work through some of those things during the strategic planning process about how do you go about that? I think you work from lessons learned, right? Think about the past, what has really kind of blown up your plans, and also trying to think about, contingency plans as well. Not everything's going to work out perfect, but if you can think forward, and learn from the past, then we could possibly hedge our bets for the future. And it is challenging, I understand. It won't be a perfect system, but if there's things that we can plan for that we feel pretty confident about, then let's do that. But you won't always be able to plan for completely things that come out of the blue and come from the side that you're just not aware of. So we'll work through that as best we can and pull off maybe some triggers to figure out ways to react to those plans quickly and efficiently, to those issues quickly and efficiently. So I think that might be one way to work through that. It's a valid question, and I appreciate that. I did want to go back to the previous question about strategic planning. And we've done some work outside of the council arena with the Health and Human Resources, or HHS, and we've done some analyses there and developed a strategic plan for them. That was a group of about 400 employees. We've done some other workforce management and with health initiatives. So we've done some things to work with other agencies, but we do have experience developing strategic plans. And we have, like I said, a facilitator that will come in January to help guide you all with the core pieces and development of that. And we'll refine that strategic plan after this workshop. It remains to be seen how we'll engage and work through it. Maybe another online workshop to kind of solidify that plan just with council members. But I wanted to highlight that we do have some experience within our team developing doing strategic planning efforts.
Thank you, Brett. Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Brett. And, actually, Peter, your question kind of provided some questions that I have for Brett that, I mean, the meetings in January, there's problems and you're going to want solutions as part of that discussion. And I just, you know, as I look at different councils deal with management differently, such as the Pacific Council, the Caribbean, there's certain things in the Pacific that they do with the commercial fleet, with industrial-based surveys that seem to work and are successful. And personally, I don't know enough details of the logistics of such. And I would just hope that at those meetings in January, someone would be at the table that maybe could have that knowledge base that could help facilitate some solutions that we maybe could need or result in those meetings, you know, in January. Is that something that Brett, you will bring to the table, or will there be others at the table that'll be able to possibly explain such and address those solutions to the problems that we may be identifying?
Thank you for the question to the chair. I appreciate that. And there is a lot of recommendations that are already within the team that we have with based on experience from working with other councils and ideas. But we didn't want to put those forward now. We wanted to wait until the councils decided on what areas they want to focus on for the strategic plan. And then we can start developing recommendations. We can start working again with focus groups and individual interviews to help develop some of those recommendations and really start putting things on paper to solve the bigger challenges. I think you definitely have identified things that other councils have done. I have ideas about what might work to help speed up the process or create better data within the system to make decisions more efficient. Some things might be full-on council actions that you'll have to put on the agenda and develop. And maybe they're data collection type things or other things that we want out of National Marine Fisheries Service to refocus on things. There's a lot of ideas, but before we wanted to start creating solutions, we want to figure out exactly what do we want to solve. And that's what the impetus of the strategic plan would be. And then help us move all these things into certain buckets and decide, okay, do we have solutions? Who's got ideas? And we can work through that after January, between January and April. And it doesn't have to be every solution on the table after the Parnon team leaves you with your deliverable and a roadmap. There might be things that, hey, we can figure that one out. We'll set that aside, but it is an area of focus that we want to keep on our strategic plan and something to think about. So there will be some solutions right off the bat because people have ideas and we'll take them, obviously. We'll put them in a parking lot and hold on to them and make sure that voices are heard. We don't want to stifle conversation. What we're trying to figure out is, okay, it's a stepwise process for strategic planning and think about what are the bigger ticket items to deal with first and what are being dealt with on the side through the IRA initiatives or other subcommittees and organize ourselves to be, here's our roadmap now. Here's the things that we're going to focus on. Here's the priorities. And here's the things that we think were quick wins. Here's the things that are long-term gains that we're going to take a long time to develop. So we're trying to parse that out. But I know that there are certain things the industry will want solutions for immediately. And so maybe those are the priorities and we'll have to work through that through the council and its planning development and future recommendations. I hope that helps a little bit as far as what to expect in the January workshop. Again, we might have to have another session at some point to solidify the strategic plan and also some of the recommendations going forward.
Thank you, Brett. I guess I will allow you guys to leave the room. So we're not coming out of there with all our answers, but thank you for that process. Any last questions for Brett around the table here? Seeing none, thank you, Brett. We look forward to our homework assignments over the holiday vacations, and we'll meet up in Boston January 7th and 8th or something like that.
6th, 7th.
Sorry, 6th and 7th. I got to readjust my calendar.
Well, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And we will move on.